Welcome aboard the Highway in the Sky. Please hold on, please hold on. Thank you. No smoking, please.
Hello and welcome to Monorail Blue, a new podcast from Disney Examiner, your weekly source for all things related to Walt Disney parks and resorts. My name is Andy.
I'm Danny.
And here's what you've missed since our last stop.
All right, everyone, and for our first stop, we're going to talk about some of the latest Disney Parks news. Unfortunately, our first news story is a little bit, of a sad story. We just learned today, when we're recording this episode, July 27th, that Marty Sklar, a Disney legend and, of course, a co-founder of Walt Disney Imagineering, has passed away today. At his home in Southern California. He was 83. He was one of the only people that had visited every Disney theme park opening from Anaheim to Disneyland Shanghai recently, just this last year. So he had the privilege of going to every opening ceremony to every Disney theme park that's ever been opened. And he also was one of the only Imagineers still surviving that worked personally with Walt Disney. And most specifically, he worked with Walt Disney to, during that time when he was thinking about what he wanted and his original true vision of Walt Disney World and original Epcot. So he had that real blue sky, that real futuristic thinking that, Walt Disney shared in regards to his vision for those, for what Walt Disney World and Epcot were supposed to have been. So, it speaks volumes for kind of who he was and truly why he was a Disney legend. His work brought so much of the theme parks to life, and not only that, he was an author, and also an executive in the Walt Disney Company. So, he's had an amazing career, lots of fans, and just a few weeks ago at D23 Expo, he was meeting with fans. So it definitely hits the Disney fan community pretty hard because he was just within the community at the D23 Expo, greeting fans, signing his book, I'm sure. He had a recent book release. So it's definitely a sad thing to see that he has passed, and definitely our condolences to his family in this time, as it's probably, I'm sure, very difficult. And the Walt Disney Company, I'm sure, is very... saddened to hear about this news as well. It's one of their legends passed away.
And now we go to the Disneyland Resort. On July 19th, Disney officially released their Max Pass service. We talked about this service in great detail in a previous episode, so please go and listen to get the full details about this service. But the quick highlights are, you can plan your Fast Passes in advance by booking them through the Disneyland app. The service, however, costs $10 per ticket. And also, in addition to the fast passes, you get PhotoPass for the day. So please check out the service and also check out our episode for more details. Additionally, there will be some changes coming to Downtown Disney in the near future. Build-A-Bear Workshop, Chapel Hats, and Ride Makers are being closed down. According to a Disneyland Resort spokesperson, the shops aren't being closed due to their poor performance. They're being closed to make room for more dining facilities. According to a Disneyland official, there's simply no space, but they would evaluate the situation if they could find space for these shops.
And next up, we have some Walt Disney World news. A few things just to mention really quickly. Both of them actually center on the same date, which is kind of interesting, but they're both different news. All involve changes happening to the Walt Disney World Resort, some of which were announced at D23 Expo. First being for Mission Space. So on August 13th, Epcot will relaunch Mission Space with the brand new experiences that they mentioned at D23 Expo. Now that Disney and Lucasfilm are the same company, now that Disney has worked with Industrial Light Magic, on multiple projects, they worked with Industrial Light Magic to create these new versions of the films for Mission Space. And so now there's multiple missions and they're revamped. So there's a totally new version of the Orange Mission, which is, for those of you that frequent the attraction, the Orange Mission is the more intense or original intended version of the attraction, that where you experience the G-forces that they try to simulate as being, you know, part of that blast off. So the less intense version, or the green version, the green mission, now is known as Mission Space Earth. So it takes you on an exciting orbit around Earth, and on this new adventure, you take in sights like the Hawaiian Islands, Italy's Boot, you see Northern Lights from space, and then you land at the Kennedy Space Center, whereas the Orange Mission still remains the same as what it was before, a mission to Mars, but it's now enhanced with new video and, you know, totally new experiences on that. So both have new updates, so they're totally new take on the attraction, so you guys can go on it. It's a total new take, August 13th. That'll be available to you guys. But at the same time, that same date, on August 13th, we have two attractions closing to make way for new attractions that were announced at D23 Expo. So on August 13th, they are also closing the Universe of Energy at Disney, at the Epcot Park in Walt Disney World, and also the Great Movie Ride at Disney's Hollywood Studios. So if you want to get your last rides in for either of those attractions, you only have a few weeks left. August 13th for Ellen's Energy Adventure at the Universe of Energy and the Great Movie Ride. And actually, Disney did lift some of the annual pass blackout dates to allow one last ride on the Great Movie Ride for the Universe of Energy, or the Universe of Energy attraction. So they have lifted those bans just so that you guys can get on there. If you have annual passes, you were blocked, go ahead and check out that blockout day calendar again, because they've lifted those, so you guys can head on in there and get those last rides in. So if you were thinking, man, I'm not gonna be able to ride it again, check it again, because you may be able to head on in there and get that last ride. Chances are the lines might be long, but if you want to get the last ride in, it may be worth it. So remember that date, August 13th, new Mission Space, closure of the Great Movie Ride and Ellen's Energy Adventure, as they make way for Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway and also the Guardians of the Galaxy attraction. So we'll see what's up for that.
All right, for our main stop this week, we're going to have a fun little topic, Danny. This week, I want to discuss our top five favorite restaurants, quick service restaurants, at the Disneyland resorts. You know, food is a big part of the Disneyland experience, from going to
absolutely
like Country Bear with your families after you go down Splash Mountain, or getting a bread bowl at Bodine's. For a lot of my friends, those are the moments that kind of highlight going to Disneyland. And you know, it's just fun to talk about, because food is just such an essential part of life. I know it's kind of cheesy, but yeah, mm-hmm. I think we should just go right into it. All right, so how this is going to work, we're doing quick service restaurants. That means no table service or there's a waiter. And we're doing all parts of the Disneyland Resort, Disneyland, California Adventure, Downtown Disney, and the hotels. And yeah, I think
that's... And we're going in order from five to our top choice.
Oh, yes. That, and I made a list, and Danny made a list. And we don't know what we put, but I think we might have some ideas of what...
Yeah, or we might even have similar things, but on different parts of the list, so who knows?
Yeah, I think my list is going to be really weird. But that's the whole point of these things. It's just a silly fun, you know, yeah. Compare and learn more about each other and talk Disney. Nothing exactly. Wrong with that. All right, you want to go first? So what is your number five?
Sure, I'll go first. So my number five takes us to Disneyland Park. And this is one of my top five for sure. And definitely now too, since they've changed it. But you can probably guess. So my top number five restaurant in Disneyland Park is Village House Restaurant. Right now, it is known as the Red Rose Tavern. But whether it was Village House Restaurant or even Red Rose, I think it still, for me, remains at number five spot. Right now, in its current state of what it is for Beauty and the Beast, there's just such a great menu there that has a wide variety for all different kinds of tastes and what people want. You can get anything from flatbreads to the cauliflower sandwich, which is totally unique, and I think...
That's right up my alley.
Yeah, super, like, good. I thought that was super good. You can get cheeseburgers there, you can get chicken sandwiches, there's salads, and of course, just regular burgers. And then, right now, of course, they have the gray stuff, which is what everyone was going nuts over, and it was, like, the most Instagrammed thing for, like, all of the time around when the movie was coming out. But even before, when the Village House Restaurant was just the Village House Restaurant, they had the pastrami burger, which was, like, one of my favorite things.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah, and they also had a BLT flatbread, which was so good. So good. So
I've never had a BLT flatbread. I'm normally not a fan of BLTs, but that sounds interesting.
Yeah, it's, you know, and I always like the Village House because it's kind of off the beaten path. You know, not a lot of people go there in comparison to some of the more really, really popular quick service restaurants. And you can always generally find a really nice table, whether it's inside or outside, and, you know, not have too long of waits. Because there's a lot of registers open too. So it's kind of, you know, a nice little escape when you're trying to have a nice quiet meal, I guess. I mean, it's not always the most quietest location, but it's definitely better than like the Galactic or Pizza Port or something like that.
Yeah.
No, but, my number five. So what about you, Andy?
All right, so my number five, it's kind of a weird choice because it's not technically a full meal, but I just love this place so much that I had to include it. It would be higher on this list. Well, it's Sprinkles Cupcakes. I love Sprinkles so much. I mean, it's so good. I mean, it's not technically a full meal, but I do admit I do sometimes eat cupcakes as a meal. But Sprinkles has the best cupcakes around. They're one of the... It's not, like, officially Disney. It's just there at Disney. But, I don't know. I just love Sprinkles. I get the vegan red... I'm kind of a health-conscious person. But I get the vegan red velvet. And it's just so delicious after a day in the sun, walking around
that,
in the park.
Coconut icing.
Coconut. There's a lot of coconut oil, I assume. But, yeah, it's just so good. And you just bite, just sit at the little corner where the fountain kind of is, or was. Is it covered now? Because of the bowling alley that's coming. But you get the idea.
Mm-hmm.
I know, it's just Sprinkles, it just has a special place in my heart.
Yeah, I like that one. That's a good choice. I wouldn't have thought to include that one, but I love Sprinkles Cupcakes. They are so delicious. I've literally never had a better cupcake than Sprinkles. And, you know, I will fight hard on that one because some people either really like it or they really don't like it. But I love Sprinkles. It's so good. Every cupcake I've had is good. Some might be more rich than others where I can't really finish it, but...
That is not in my vocabulary. I can eat anything in large quantities.
They are so good, though. So I like that one. Good choice.
Well, good. Because that's... I don't know if that's... I have some controversial picks. But, I mean, I thought that would be a little controversial. All right, Danny. Go with your number four.
So my number four pick takes us out of the parks and to Disney's Grand Californian Hotel and Spa. And that is the Whitewater Snacks. So, Whitewater Snacks, you know, a lot of Disney fans, this is like their go-to choice. It's such a great little escape outside the park, when you're in Disney California Adventure, when you just leave the theme park right over by the Grizzly Peak area, and you can head on over there and get some great breakfast, lunch, or dinner. The breakfast options are really good. but everyone goes there for the lunch and dinner because they have the best nachos on property.
I remember when we met there once, and I did have those nachos, and they were quite good.
Yeah, they've got chicken nachos, beef nachos, or pork nachos, or you can, like, switch it up and get, like, mixed meats, or, like, all of them, or, you know, just one. But the chips are all house-made. They do a mixture of, like, regular cheese and, like, the nacho cheese, and they use fresh guacamole, a special crema sauce that's got, like, chipotle in it, so it's not, like, a normal sour cream, and then a pico de gallo. So it's just really, really good. It tastes really fresh, and it's a sure hit every single time, so it's, like, something that you can always count on. And I love the location. It's super nice, too, because if you sit in the outdoor patio of Whitewater Snacks, you can hear, you know, the hustle and bustle of Disney California Adventure Parks, like you never even left. But you're kind of away from being in the hustle and bustle. Or if you're inside of the restaurant, you can enjoy the air conditioning as well as like the hotel's Wi-Fi, which a lot of people is the reason why they like to go there. The hotel's Wi-Fi. The service
isn't good at the park.
Right. You can enjoy the hotel's Wi-Fi. So maybe if you're blogger or podcaster, or you know, you got your Disney Instagram, you need to like do some edits and some posting, you can take a break over at Whitewater Snacks and take care of all that stuff. And then also, of course, another reason being it has the Coca-Cola freestyle machines.
Oh, that's one of my favorite things ever.
Yes, and you can refill while you're sitting there, so you can try a bunch of different flavors, sit there for a while. Like I said, if you are working on some kind of project post or whatever, you can, you know, nurse that drink and maybe get a couple refills. But it's an excellent location. Lots of different options other than just the nachos if you didn't want to have the nachos, as well as some pre-made options and some alcoholic beverages too if you were looking for that, you know, when you're sitting down for lunch too. So that's my number four pick.
Yeah, that's a good one. I'm glad you showed me that, because I didn't know that place existed. But yeah, good pick. So my number four pick is, I think this is kind of an out there one, Rancho del Zocalo Restaurante.
Ah.
I don't think, the reason why I like it is, it has a good piece of, I get the half chicken, and I like to get the vegetables. So it's a good place where you want to eat relatively healthy and relatively quick and still feel satisfied. Because, I mean, it is a lot of food, but it's still, like, sometimes when you eat healthy, you don't feel full. And I'm not saying this is the picture of health. It's, like, one of the healthier options at Disneyland. Mm-hmm. But it's just a nice, solid piece of chicken. And the ambiance is kind of cool. It's, you know, near Frontierland. You get to see, you know, the rivers of America, and I don't know, I just like it. I've never been there until like semi-recently, but once I found it, I'm like, hey, I can go back here over and over again, and I have. It's pretty much my go-to spot at Disneyland.
Yeah, it's got a great ambiance there. It's really well, it's really nice theming. You know, it's kind of, you feel like separated from like the hustle and bustle of the park, but you're still right there. You're still, you know, right next to Big Thunder Mountain Railroad, so you can see the attraction when you're sitting down for lunch. They have a really nice little like water fountain that you can fill up if you have like water bottles and stuff. It has like a spout on it, so that's like right in the dining area too, so you can like fill up your, you know, your hydro flask if you've got anything going on like that. And they just got, like, a wide variety of things. Plus, they have those really good cinnamon sugar, like, tortilla chip crisps.
Oh,
things.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Those are really good, too.
Oh, yeah.
All house-made, of course.
Of course, of course.
But, yeah, that's a good choice. Good choice.
Thank you.
So, my number three takes us to Disney California Adventure Park. This one is kind of my, like, obvious choice, I guess you could say. My other two I felt like were more me, but this one is Boardwalk Pizza and Pasta. Super popular with everyone. It's a super popular location. More so for me about this restaurant, you know, and it can almost go hand in hand with the Paradise Garden Grill, but I almost didn't want to pick that one because Paradise Garden Grill changes its menu so often to kind of fit the area of whatever they're featuring in that Paradise Garden area. But Bordock Pizza and Pasta is pretty set. It's always the same. They have, you know, occasional holiday items, but for the most part, the menu remains. And the number one thing that I'd say is probably their best seller is that chicken sun-dried tomato pesto, which has like the campanelle pasta tossed with sun-dried tomato sauce, and it has the grilled chicken on it. And it's like the number one thing you see people waiting there at the pasta. I feel like with the two pizza locations, like Disneyland Pizza Port and then here at Disney California Adventure Park, like the two most popular items are like the pastas. So like Bordock Pizza and Pasta has their sun-dried tomato one, and then Disneyland has the Countdown Chicken Fusilli at the Pizza Port. But I feel like those are like the two big number one items. And of course, Bordock Pizza and Pasta has pizza, of course, in the name.
It's pretty straightforward.
It's straightforward, although controversial, because a lot of people were super fans of how the pizza used to be. They had flatbread pizzas, and they had a bunch of different kinds of flatbread pizzas, and you would get like a full flatbread, and it was unique. And now they've gone the way of Pizza Port, and they just give you a slice of pizza. So, and it's kind of, you know, not so unique anymore. It's just kind of more off the shelf. So people were a little sad to see that change. They really liked the flatbread pizzas that they had.
But people don't like change regardless. If they, you know, yeah. If people grow accustomed to it.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like with any social media website update, where the slightest change, people are up in arms until they forget about it. And it's not a big deal.
And I have to make a little shout out for Bordock Pizza and Pasta. The lemon blueberry cheesecake dessert here is actually super good. I'm not a fan of lemon things in dessert, but
I love lemon desserts.
I like this particular dessert. It's really, really good, super refreshing. Really good the lemon blueberry just works. I don't know.
Oh, that's a great combo. Those are like two of my favorite things.
Yeah, super. They just work together, and with a cheesecake, it's just awesome. And so, definitely, like, whenever I feel like I'm cheating a little bit that day and I'm okay with getting some kind of dessert, lemon blueberry cheesecake is like the first thing I'll grab out of the three desserts that they offer at that Bordock Pizza and Pasta. But yes, number three for me, Bordock Pizza and Pasta, Disney California Adventure Park, not only for the restaurant itself, but that amazing outdoor patio.
Oh, so. Yeah, that's pretty. I like that too. And just real quick, I think Sprinkles should make a lemon blueberry. Maybe they already have, but free idea, Sprinkles.
Yeah, so Sprinkles, if you're listening.
If you're listening, hit me up.
Andy wants a lemon blueberry cupcake.
And make it vegan.
Make it vegan, make it happen.
There you go. All right, so my number three is at DCA, and it's the Pacific Wharf Cafe.
Mmm.
So this is where houses Bodine's, the famous sourdough bakery from San Francisco. I think they're the original sour bread, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yes, Bodine. Yes, yeah. The original sourdough.
Those bread bowls are sometimes what I dream of. Like, with the clam chowder, it's so satisfying when you finish your clam chowder. You know, you dip your lid into the chowder and eat it. Then once you're done, you get to rip up your bowl. And then kind of, because it's all soaked in the clamminess. And, you know, you just eat it one by one. And it's just, I just love it. It's just the sourdough bread is just phenomenal. And I've admit I have other things there. I think I've had a salad bread bowl once. It wasn't that great, to be honest.
I've always wondered how those were. I mean, I saw them, but I was just like, I don't know how that is. Because then the bowl would have dressing in it afterward.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't bad, don't get me wrong. I might have eaten it without dressing, but, it was okay. I mean, I would eat it again, but it's still, I mean, the reason why, it wouldn't, a salad bread bowl wouldn't be ranked as high.
Yeah. This is a great choice though, for sure. This is not in my top five, but it's certainly up there for me.
I thought it would be, honestly.
Yeah, I thought about it, but I was just like, these other ones weigh out a little bit higher for me. But I love, I mean, bread's my language. Like, bread's my favorite thing of all food. So anyone that knows me knows I love bread. So sometimes I just go to Pacific Wharf and just get the bread, and I just eat it. Like you said, the bread thing, the bread bowls are amazing, and when they're soaked with the soup and you're eating them afterward, they're just awesome. Whether it's clam chowder or their special corn chowder that they have. They have a broccoli cheese sometimes too, and other holiday offerings.
Tried the broccoli cheese once, but I mean, it was good. But I mean, like I said, I go to chowder.
Yeah, no, the two chowders are my favorite for sure. But yeah, definitely that bread. You know, as soon as you walk in there, you can smell it. It smells so good. So.
Oh yeah, and then one thing I like to do is for the tour part. You know, you get to tour the facility and watch an old video with Rosie O'Donnell and the guy from Who's Line, Colin, I forget his last name. They hand out free samples, and I love free samples. So, see, I'm just so blatant about it. I'll just walk in and take the bread and don't even go for the tour and just walk out. And the same goes for Ghirardelli. That's not on my list, but just a quick shout out. The free samples are killer. And it's just on a hot day, get a quick chocolate pick-me-up. It's pretty good. Also, real quick, I learned this from my friend the other day. If you want dark chocolate samples, you can just ask. And they'll give it to you. So if you didn't know that, that's a quick little tip.
I didn't know that, if you asked for dark chocolate.
It's kind of a big deal. Like, I mean, because you have to, like, sometimes wait in line. But, yeah, I mean, I like dark chocolate better. So.
Oh, yeah, same, for sure.
So, yeah, quick tip. Free dark chocolate, Ghirardelli.
Nice.
All right, so that was my number three. Now, right. I believe we're on number two.
So, yes, number two. These are my, like, top two here. These are ones generally my go-to locations. So for my number two, we're going back to Disneyland Park, and it's the Bengal Barbecue. I love the Bengal Barbecue so much, just like tons of other people, which is why I was so happy that they expanded like a dining area for it, because there was never any place to sit down when you wanted to eat there. And They have the expanded seating area and, you know, able to accommodate more of a line. So it's great. It's great. But, I mean, you can't go wrong. All of their skewers are phenomenal.
And reasonably priced.
Yeah, they're reasonably priced. You can get, like, a good amount of food. Especially if you're on a diet, or you're looking to eat healthier, or if you're trying to accommodate an allergy, the skewers are great. I mean, all of the skewers can be the meats can be made without the sauce. The sauce is added after the meat's been cooked. So if you want, you can always, if you're looking to be healthier, you can get like the beef skewers, or the chicken skewers, or what have you, with the sauce on the side. So you can put your own sauce rather than the sauce just being like slopped all over it, which they taste amazing that way. But you know, any skewer, you can't go wrong with it. Whether it's either beef skewer, because one's sweet, one's spicy. And then there's the chicken skewer, which is like a sweeter one. And then my favorite skewer ever, which is the bacon wrapped asparagus. It's called the Safari skewer. Yes. And then they have like a all vegetable skewer. And then they have a chef special skewer too, which they always change. Like one time it was like a Portuguese sausage and like pineapple during like,
oh, that sounds delicious. You know,
a Hawaiian time. And it was great. And of course they've got the Tiger Tails too, which is their kind of like twisted breadstick that they also grill, and it has like little garlic on it. So
they're crazy bread?
Yeah, a little bit like that. And just recently they added poke spring rolls too, which is interesting. But yeah, I mean, dude, the Bengal Barbecue has been around for so long. It's technically listed as I think a snack location, but I mean, when I go for to Disneyland, especially like,
well, this is, you know, quick service.
I'm also like, I'm also a little bit healthier conscious like you are too. So I know that I can go to Bengal Barbecue and like really, you know, get low carb. I can get like just meat skewers with like the asparagus and like get, you know, get some vegetables in, get some protein in, and then be on my day, and I'm not like taking in like French fries or like bread or other things like that if I'm trying to stay healthy. So it's like a good option for that. And it's just excellent. And if you want to splurge a little, you can get the Tiger Tail. So Bengal Barbecue, top notch choice. Plus it's in Adventureland, which is awesome. So
I honestly have never eaten here. I've seen this because I've been to Disneyland since I like was in second grade, so a long time. And next time I'm going here, because looking, you know, from your recommendation and looking at the menu, because I try to be vegan, but I'm not fully vegan. I think the term is reducitarian, just basically vegan when I can, then I'll eat meat if I have to. And like, right here, that veggie skewer calls to me. Like, I could order like three of them and still it could be like, and plus with the pass holders discount, it's probably roughly the same as a meal elsewhere. Like,
yeah, that's generally what I get. I get three skewers, so I usually get a beef and a chicken skewer. So sometimes I'll get the Bengal beef skewer, which comes with the sweet sauce, or the Banyan beef skewer, which comes with the hot sauce. So I'll get either or, and then I get the chicken skewer, and then the safari skewer, which is the bacon wrapped asparagus. And if you're trying to stay away from pork, you can ask for it without the bacon, and they just give you the asparagus.
That's
and then
good.
They also give you like lemon wedges, so you can like squirt lemon juice on it and have that like lemon tart on top of the asparagus, which is great too.
That sounds really good. Okay, I'm definitely coming here. Thank you for bringing this to my attention. Because like barbecue, as you know, as like I said, I love barbecue, but I don't eat it. But I mean, that option sold me. So again, thank you.
Yeah, definitely. And then the Tiger Tail, I would say for you, Andy, you should get that too. So like, I'd get like the vegetable skewer, and then the safari skewer without the bacon, and then the tiger tail. And like, you can maybe get a side of like one of the sauces, whether it's like the hot and spicy or the sweet Zulu sauce, and then you can dip your Tiger Tail in those sauces, which is what I do.
Awesome.
I want to cheat a little bit.
I'm gonna do that.
Little tip for our listeners, just ask for a side of one of the sauces to dip your Tiger Tail into.
Good to know. All right. My number two, French Market Restaurant.
Oh, okay.
New Orleans food is such great. I just love the flavors. Because it's very, you know, there's a lot of things going on. It's well spiced. It has stuff I like, rice, vegetables, and meat.
What do you usually get?
What I get, that's what I was going to allude to. I get the jambalaya. I love the jambalaya there. It's just the perfect, you know, jambalaya is just great in general, and it just scratches that itch. Because it's one of those things that it's very filling. It has a good variety of flavors, because there's seafood, chicken, and sausage. And you have the rice, and then bread, and, you know, I'm good. I'm good for the day. And then also, too, you can get beignets there. It's like an express part of it, you know, in the back, but, you know, this is extra credit. It's a very versatile place, you know, if you want your dessert itch, and you don't want to leave the park, boom, get some beignets. And they have the holiday ones. Don't they have, like, a peppermint one and, like, a pumpkin one?
Yeah, they got holiday versions.
I think I had the peppermint one, and it was a bit weird, to be honest. But the normal ones are good. I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
It's
and they
good
have
stuff.
Mint julep.
Yeah, the mint julep, I mean, it's non-alcoholic mint julep. I made an alcoholic one once, and I think I screwed it up because it was just straight bourbon. But, I mean, it's interesting. I don't love it, but I like drinking it just to drink. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like for in the moment. And it's like, why not? You know, why not? I love mint. And I think it comes with a cherry, too, so...
Yes, it does.
A little fun treat.
A little bit lemon wedges, cherry, and some mint in it.
Exactly. It hits a spot.
Yep, it's a Disneyland staple.
Mint sugar, yeah. So. Do you like coming here? And what do you get?
Yeah, the French Market I enjoy quite often. I usually always find myself, for whatever reason, I always find myself at the French Market around the holiday season. Holidays being like Halloween and Christmas, when they have the
Nightmare Jack Before Skellington Christmas.
And Nightmare Before Christmas like themed desserts.
That's cool.
Because those are super cool. I remember they had like an Oreo like cake or Oreo cheesecake that was like shaped like a coffin.
That is amazing.
It was super good. So I usually find myself there for that, but. I kind of like, when I go there, I just get the French dip sandwich.
Oh, that's good.
I've gotten that the last couple times. I'm not, like, a super big fan of jambalaya. Definitely always get the mint julep. French dip, sometimes I get the chicken there as well, too. I've tried the seafood pasta there that they've had in the past as well, too. All great choices. There's a lot of variety for people. So this is definitely another one of those restaurants that if, you know, you've got... lots of different tastes in the family or in the party. French Market's a good choice because there's a wide variety of just about everything in that style of food. And then there's some kid meal options as well, too, of course.
Of course.
But then you've got, like, the great desserts there that they have in the restaurant, as well as around the corner at the little mint julep bar. There's mint juleps and then the beignets. So, and sometimes there's some outdoor entertainment on the patio. You have the train station nearby, so you get to hear, like, the train coming in and out of the station, and just, like, the hustle and bustle of, like, New Orleans Square. It's an excellent location for, you know, theming and, like, atmosphere, for sure.
Totally. I agree. And it's always crowded, too.
It is. It's generally crowded. There's usually a line, but the line, I would say, moves pretty quickly.
Oh, yeah. The biggest problem is seating. If you have a large party... you can get a little cozy in your table, like a small circular table. One time I fit like 6 people. It wasn't fun, but I mean, we pull through. But I mean, that's the only downfall, I would say. But I mean, it's not that big. It's not a deal breaker in the slightest. All right.
Yes. Good choice. Good choice. So here we go.
Number one.
For me, this was hard, but also easy. So my number one choice takes us back to the hotels, this time to the Disneyland Hotel. My number one choice is Tangaroa Terrace. Tangaroa Terrace has some of the best food on property, hands down. Such great food, totally underrated. A lot of people don't even know it's there. Such great atmosphere. It's right on the pool deck of the Disneyland Hotel, adjacent to Trader Sam's Enchanted Tiki Bar. You've got that tiki torch atmosphere all around you, the tiki style music. For those Walt Disney World fans visiting the Disneyland Resort, they can get a little taste of home at like Disney's Polynesian Village Resort if they dine at this restaurant. You get that total Captain Cook's vibe with all the style of food and the style of theming. But the breakfast is great. It's you know, you have your typical breakfast fare, but it has that Hawaiian island twist on it. So the French toast has that warm banana caramel sauce with powdered sugar. They've got breakfast wraps, platters, and their platter has like... special like specific like island fruit rather than just like your normal fruit spread that you'd find at some of the other restaurants. And of course, can't go wrong, they're gonna have your Mickey shaped waffles. But the best part is when you come for lunch or dinner, you're gonna have that island style. So if you're looking for shrimp tacos, ahi poke, they have Hawaiian cheeseburgers, which are awesome. They got grilled pineapple on them with teriyaki sauce and Havarti cheese. They've got the teriyaki chicken sandwich, a Kalua pork sandwich, a Kalua pork flatbread, which is like their number one item. Like, people love this. So it's like a pizza flatbread with Kahlua pork on it, which is super good. They've got salads, and then teriyaki bowls. So there's just like a wide variety of everything. And it's, again, it's like it's super great atmosphere. Of course, you're away from the hustle and bustle of the park, so it's a nice escape if you're trying to leave the parks for a little bit to take a little break. If you want to get alcohol, of course, this is another location since it's out of the parks that you can get. They have bottled drinks, or you can just take a step around the corner right next door to Trader Sam's, get your drink to go, and bring it back with you over to Tingaro Terrace and enjoy it on the same outdoor patio. So definitely, hands down, Tingaro Terrace is my number one favorite quick service restaurant in the Disneyland Resort. For sure.
I've never been there because I rarely go to the Disneyland Hotel. But again, you sold me on another place. I definitely want to check it out. Like, look, you know, from your description and looking at the menu.
Mm-hmm. I think that you'd really like the Tingaro Terrace salad. It's super good. And I know in the past, I've been able to get it with tofu on it.
Oh, yeah.
So that's a really great option. And look at the ingredients there. I mean, you've got cabbage, lettuce, black kale, caramelized pineapple. That's awesome. Grape tomatoes, edamame, and a tropical vinaigrette with macadamia nuts. I mean,
that's solid.
That's a solid, amazing tasting salad. Tons of flavors. Ahi poke for someone that's looking for like that sushi grade fish. Because that's kind of a rare thing when you're at Disneyland. There's not a lot of sushi options pretty much anywhere on property, or for that matter, anywhere in the vicinity. I think the closest restaurant that serves decent sushi is just down the street at the Garden Walk. And there's a Royal Hawaiian.
There's some poke places. I know there's one near the Anaheim Ice, or the Ice Cream.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's not too far. Yeah, so I mean, but like on property, there just really isn't a sushi option. So, you know, being able to get that sushi grade ahi poke, if you're really kind of feeling that on a like super hot day where it can be really refreshing to get something like that, definitely this is an option. Of course, the shrimp tacos too. You got that pineapple salsa, which is totally unique to it. So there's some really great options at Tingaro Terrace for just about everyone. And, you know, if someone wants to be super adventurous and go for that Kahlua pork or any of these weird, unique salads, they can. And then if someone wants just to get like a Hawaiian cheeseburger or like a regular bacon cheeseburger, they've got that too. So there's pretty much tastes for just about everyone here. And then their French fries are at this location are like top notch. I don't know why they're always great. They're always super good French fries here. And you can get sweet potato fries as well too. So that's an option for you.
That sounds delicious. Again, I have places to visit now. Well, yes. Just real quick before I go to number one, it's kind of crazy how many different food options are at the Disneyland Resort. Because like I said, I've been there most of my life, and I still haven't even hit it up. Because obviously we have our favorites and gravitate towards them, and things change, obviously. But, I mean, within this list, there's at least two places I want to go to that I've never been.
Yeah, definitely. So, you gotta hit my top two: Bengal Barbecue, no, Tingaro Terrace for sure.
Oh, I totally am. All right, mine is, well, it's, I don't know. It's the Cozy Cone Motel. Here's why.
That's your number one?
It's not my favorite food there, but this is why it's number one. I give it number one for originality, because the cones, the chili cone. And the chicken verde cones.
I feel you. That is
when I
very
first saw that, I, like, my unique friend had it. He was just walking. He was like, hey. And I'm like, what the heck is that? It just blew my mind. It's just like, I never, ever seen that before. Freaking chili in a cone. I mean, I've had it once, I'll admit. And I did like it. And the cone was cool, but I never gotten back because my eating habits changed, but
it's super awesome. It's one of the, like, I think this is one of the like the winning things that Walt Disney Imagineering came up with for Cars Land, or whoever, you know, whether it was Disneyland Food and Beverage that came up with this idea, not sure, but how cool was it to turn the Cozy Cone Motel into a restaurant, for that matter, or like a snack location, and then make each cone serve something different, and everything is cone themed or cone shaped. And yeah, it was a huge success, and it really is so unique to just Cars Land at Disney California Adventure Park. So it's not something that you can get anywhere else, for that matter, whether it's at Walt Disney World or at Disneyland. It's super unique to just this park. So, like, you know, the churro cone has like churros that come in a cone with like dipping sauce, and then like what you're mentioning, like the cone number 3, which has like the called, I think it's called like cone carne, and it has the chili con queso, or like the chicken verde one.
Yeah.
And I think at breakfast time too, they serve like a breakfast cone, or they used to anyway. And it had,
I don't see it on the menu.
And it has like eggs and bacon in it. I know I've gotten that in the past. I don't know if it's still available.
That's awesome.
But yeah, they also have super unique beverages here too. Of course, they've got Red's Apple Freeze, which was like the main kind of like special lemonade wave. I don't know if they serve this back in the day. I don't know if they serve this anymore, but they did. It was the Red's Apple Freeze, which had the like the apple slush with like the fruit foam on top.
That sounds good.
Yeah, it was super good. Like, there was when they were starting to do all those kind of like foam drinks. But I'm looking at the menu now, and it looks like they've, oh yeah, it's there. It's at number 4, Red's Apple Freeze. And you can get it in a souvenir cup or a regular. And then they have the pretzel bites. Those are cool too. They have like little pretzel balls with like the cheese sauce.
I never had those, I admit. Like, yes. I said, I've only been here once too, but it's made that big of an impact.
It's cool. You're right. It's totally originality. Like, you can't get anything else like it at Disneyland. So it's like totally unique. So this is a good choice. I like this. I like this because it was definitely one of the highlights for me when I first experienced Cars Land, was going to the Cozy Cone. And it was like definitely what everyone was talking about too when they first visited Cars Land, was like all the cool stuff at Cozy Cone.
Yeah. Like, I'll never forget, like I said, my friend just showed up, and then I could not stop talking about the cone. I didn't even have a taste of it. It's just, again, this, like we've been saying, it's just the idea of it. It's just, it blew my mind. Whoever made it, like you said, they deserve a raise. They deserve a promotion. Because that's the originality I look for in my food.
Unique food that you can only get at Disneyland is super great. That's why I think a lot of people who haven't been to the Tokyo Disney parks, they have such unique food that's just like only at Tokyo Disney. And like when you see it, it's like, you know, Mickey shaped everything with like special food, and like people, you know, I think people would eat that up if we had like, you know, special shaped things and food here. Like, people would go nuts over that stuff because it's, you know, people really like unique or unique shaped food or different twists on like a food they already know.
Like the group bread.
Yeah, the group bread. That was, like, super popular and still is. And
it's awesome. Bread. Like, because it's stuff like that. It's like, and it you just, when you see people with the bags of group bread, you're like, I need to have it. Mm-hmm. And it, like, you know, you walk up to a place in Hollywood and you get it. And it's just, it's pretty good, too. It's just, like, again, that's the stuff that gets me excited. Just original, kooky little things that you can't get anywhere else.
No, I agree 100%. So, well, that does it, guys. That tops out our top 5 restaurant picks for a quick service restaurants at the Disneyland Resort.
I'm kind of shocked, just real quick, that we didn't know what we put each other's list before, and we totally got different things.
I know. I thought when we were, like, you know, talking about doing this, I thought that when we were going to talk about it, we would have some similar ones, but I'm glad that we had different ones. And I'm glad that you and I also kind of sort of broke the rules and each had our own snack location. Because you did the Cozy Cone and I did the Bengal Barbecue. And, you know, technically it's not listed as a full, like, you know, meal location. It's totally a meal for me. Like, that's my lunch.
Well, it functions as a meal, too.
Yeah. So I definitely am happy that we each had that. But yeah, these are lots of great options. And you know, Andy and I didn't even scratch the surface when it comes to quick service restaurants, not even counting table service or the snacks that you can get at Disneyland, which we can do episodes on each one of those. but, you know, this is just, you know, let us know what your top five or your favorite quick service restaurant is. You know, tweet us at @monorailbluepod. Or just let us know at our email, and we'll link all that in the show notes, all of our social media. But let us know. Let us know what's your guys' favorite, and let us know why.
And let us know, like, what do you think of our list. Are we crazy?
Yeah, are we crazy? Am I crazy for having Tangaroa Terrace as number one? Is Andy crazy having Sprinkles on his top five at all?
Yeah.
You know, what do you guys think? But, you know, we just, you know, Disneyland... or Disney Parks food in general is like such its own thing. You know, some people just go to the parks simply for the food. So, you know, there's, you know, the Disney Parks food is its own topic altogether. I mean, there's a whole successful website just on Disneyland or Disney Parks food alone. So, you know, and it's always like a staple to any new kind of offering, you know, the special offerings like the Food and Wine Festival, like that's all part of, you know, these, you know, it all centers around food. And like Andy was saying at the beginning of the episode, food is, you know, such a big part of our lives. So of course it's something that we want to talk about, but yeah, let us know what you guys think. But that does it for our top five.
No smoking, please.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Monorail Blue. Please go on iTunes to subscribe to us so you can get the latest episodes whenever they release. Also, please give us a 5-star rating and leave your feedback. We'd love to hear from you. In addition, you can send us feedback via email at monorailblue@disneyexaminer.com. Also, please follow our show on our social media accounts. We're on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Links to each page are in the show notes, so please check them out. And please give a follow to Disney Examiner at those same social media sites for all the latest Disney news. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time.
No smoking, please. We are circling the Disney-created Seven Seas Lagoon. Rising from the Magic Kingdom, on the opposite shore is Cinderella Castle.